All right. Well, we're in Joshua, remember? And we are in Joshua 19, 49 to 51. So if you want to turn there. We are almost done with Joshua. It's been a year. Remember last May we started in Joshua. And the next book, just so you know ahead of time, we try to go New Testament, Old Testament. Okay? I'm not going to get too far with this. That's better. But the next book we're going to do is Ephesians, because Ephesians is the spiritual parallel to Joshua. Joshua's taking the land and possessing the land, and Ephesians is your spiritual inheritance in Christ. So we're going to do that one. All right, Joshua 19, 49 to 51. Now, last week we talked about all those seven tribes that were left over to get their inheritance. We went through each tribe, Naphtali, and we went through Dan, and we went through Benjamin and all those tribes, and they got their inheritance and what each tribe meant and their inheritance meant. Are we on? Okay. And now we come to Joshua, because after all the tribes got their inheritance, now it's time for Joshua to get his inheritance. So we're going to read 19:49-51. When they had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance amongst them to Joshua the son of Nun. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he had asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. These were the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. So one last division of the land was to be made, and that was Joshua's portion. He oversaw the whole process of the inheritance for everyone, and now it was his turn. Okay? So that first verse, it says, when they had made an end of dividing the land. Literally, it means when it was finished, when they finished. So, what's an application there? A godly leader lets everyone else go first. Okay? A godly leader does not take seconds before everybody gets first in the line at dinner. A godly leader lets everybody else go first. So, like Abraham, he let Lot choose first. Remember, they were looking at the land, and Lot goes, I want that land down by Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, you can have that. But then God said to Abraham, lift up your head and look at the inheritance that I have for you. So God gave Abraham his inheritance. Lot chose his own inheritance. Look what happened to him. David surrendered Jerusalem when Absalom's army overthrew him, and he trusted God to bring him back to it. Now, David was the king. He didn't have to leave Jerusalem, but he left it voluntarily. He says, you know, we don't know that God is judging me for my sins. And he walked out and he says, if God wants me back there, I'll be back there, which he did. Andrew was the first to tell others about Jesus. And that's about all you knew about Andrew, the rest of the Gospels. Because why? Because he allowed Peter, his brother, to be the lead disciple. He took the back seat. Now, I always tell you a Pastor Ron Mel story, usually at least once a month anyways. But when Ron was diagnosed with leukemia, and this is about when we started going there back in 81, they had offered him the head of the Foursquare. I don't know if anybody knows that, but they had offered him the head of the Foursquare. Later, they offered him the presidency of Life Bible College, larger churches. And he declined them all and promoted others to those positions. And I'll tell you a funny story, if you ever end up going over to Beaverton Foursquare, about how the slant of the floor is. they were deciding the when they were in the small building where his office is, they were having like five or six services every Sunday because it was just, you know, so many people were coming. And then they built the other building, the big building that you see now. And in fact, it was half of it when we got there, and then they built the other half around. But anyway, they were deciding how the floor was to be. Well, Jack Hayford is like Ron's spiritual father, really. And Church on the Way is built tiered. So you have a level here, then you come down a level here, and then you come down a level here, right down to the pulpit area. And this true story, a little inside story, but Jack was there, and the engineer was there for the building, and they had said that they would like to build the building so that it sloped down so that people could see, you know, because at Jack's place, they got balconies. At Foursquare, they didn't, at Beaverton, they didn't have any balconies back there, so they wanted it to be sloped. So Jack, Ron, and the engineer was in the office, and Jack thought it was supposed to be like his church, and the engineer said, no, it needs to be sloped and whatever. So here we've got this little tension going on. So Ron says, why don't we all get down on our knees and pray in the office? So they all get down on their knees, right, and they were praying, and this went on for, you know, half an hour, and all of a sudden Jack got up and he goes, he's right, and he walked out. Now, what's neat about that is, I mean, this is Jack Hayford, you know, he just stepped down from being the head of the Foursquare, and but that Jack would be malleable to listen to the Lord when you pray about something and not be headstrong and say, no, I have to have it my way. But I just think that's a neat story about, you know what? A leader lets somebody else go first. A leader lets somebody else's idea go first. It's okay. They don't have to be right, the first one right and the only one right all the time. So, all right, verse 49, Joshua, okay? It says here, Joshua, the children of Israel gave the inheritance amongst them to Joshua. Remember, we talked about this with Joshua, is that his name is the name of Jesus, just in Hebrew, okay? Or Jesus' name is Joshua in the Greek. Joshua waited until it was finished before entering into the eternal, into the allotment that they gave. Who else entered into an eternal ministry when it says it is finished? Jesus on the cross. When he said it is finished, it was finished. And then it started because his ministry was done, but our ministry was just starting. So after he purchased the price, our salvation, he gave us our inheritance. And that's in Ephesians 1:18. That's a nice way to thread Ephesians in as we get going, right? And Ephesians 1:18 is the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's Christ's inheritance in the saints, even though we're his inheritance. Do you see how it works? I am in you, you are in me, we are in the Father. It's all one. So, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling, or of our calling, and that what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's verse 49b says, the children of Israel gave Joshua his inheritance. Now, how does that work? Because Jesus just purchased our inheritance on the cross. How do we give him an inheritance? Well, John 17. I get ahead of myself a little. I'm in you, you are in me, we are in the Father. What do we give to Jesus for his inheritance in the saints? What is it that we give back to Jesus? Our souls. Yeah, we give him our souls. We also give him our attitudes. So, on our website, we have a whole list that we did up a long time ago about our attitudes. And one of the things that's listed is love one another. These are all the one another's that are on that. What we believe. Be devoted to one another. How does that give God glory? Well, aren't we supposed to be his hands and his feet, right? Aren't we supposed to be the example to the world? Honor one another. Edify one another. Accept one another. Forgive one another. Teach each other. Build up one another. Be kind to each other. Serve each other. Fellowship with one another. So this is what we give back to God. We give our attitudes back. We glorify Jesus. We make a witness to the world and strengthen his body here on earth when we practice these things. That's what we get to give back to God. So after the possession of the territory given to Joshua, next there was a place. Okay, so he got a possession, he got territory, but he also got a place. Now it's like, what is this place? It says here that they, in verse 50, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for, Timnath-Serah in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. Now, does anybody remember Timnath-Serah? Like, what? What's that? Well, it's in the mountains of Ephraim. Okay, that's a little hint. And it's also, why is this place significant to Joshua? Why would he want that place? Remember, he's from the tribe of Ephraim. Remember, Uncle Joshua? Remember when those kids pulled rank and said, you know, come on, Josh, do a little, you know, make something happen here for us. We want that land over there. The place is traditionally the place where Joshua commanded the sun to stand still while he battled the Amorites. Way back in chapter 10 that we had looked at. Okay, so Timnath-Serah is in the mountains of Ephraim, and it's traditionally the place where Joshua commanded the sun to stand still while he battled the Amorites. Now, talk about some miracles. Miracle of miracles for God to cease the normal activity of his creation for an ordinary man. Okay, that's like Moses splitting the sea. That's in the sun standing still. I mean, all these ancient cultures, there is in their history a day that the sun did not go down. All these cultures, God stopped the earth's rotation for that sun to stay up so that that battle could be done way back in chapter 10. That's right. All of a sudden, everybody flew off. So if God were to do that for an extra or for an ordinary man, how about an extraordinary man? Okay. Now, give me a little liberty here. Okay. When did God's son stand still? S-O-N. On the cross, our sins stood still. It did. Because all the sins of all of us and all of mankind was poured on Jesus on the cross at that one time. Our sins stood still. In the tomb, history stood still. History basically stopped for 3 days, right? Everything stopped. Jesus is the one who starts the BC and the AD, right? History is determined by that. History stood still. At the resurrection, time stood still. You're like, what? In the twinkling of an eye. That's what it says about the rapture, the twinkling of an eye. But in a millisecond, when that resurrection took place and burned that image into that cloth, that even now they have the cloth of Christ, you know, the Shroud of Turin, and it's three-dimensional. Okay? If you put a drape over your face, your nose would stick up, you know, your forehead would stick up, right? This thing got burned into that cloth so that when you open up the cloth, it's three-dimensional. It has the cheekbones. It has the, I mean, everything's on the cloth. That's amazing. Time stood still in that resurrection. And how about at Stephen's stoning? Jesus stood in honor of the first martyr. You never see that anywhere. But that Christ was at the right hand of God, it says, and he stood. Because Stephen says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. So, finally, having a possession, he got the property, having a place, we see that there's three persons involved in dividing up this land. Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes. Okay, that's who determined this whole allotment. So Eleazar the priest. What is Jesus like Eleazar? He's our high priest. You see a picture of Christ in here. Here we see a picture of Jesus, the position of our high priest. In Hebrews 9:11, who now ministers in heavenly sanctuary, making intercession for us, having given himself as a worthy sacrifice. So, when we get our possession, okay, when we have our inheritance, who's dividing up this land? The priest, the priestly call of Christ, okay? He is our high priest. And Eleazar was the high priest. Second, of course, you see the position of the son of God. Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, I would always kid about that because Jesus didn't have any genealogy, so he's the son of Nun. Okay? Yeah, I know. Ta-da! No. But in Matthew 16:16, it says, who was in the perfect obedience to the Father in fulfilling his mission, our redemption. So you've got the priestly role, you've got the son's role, and now, what do you got? Finally, he holds the position as the head of all tribes of the earth, but also in Colossians 1:18, it says the head of the church. Okay? So the heads of those tribes, okay? It says here, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided up the inheritance in the lot. So here's the head. Who's the head? Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of all the tribes, every tongue, every nation. He's the head. He's the chief cornerstone. So again, Colossians 1:18, the head of the church, who will one day give the saints their allotment in the new Jerusalem and to rule and to reign with him forever. You got three persons and you got three positions. Gee, doesn't that sound something familiar? Yeah. Three persons, three positions, dividing up the allotment, just like we get. We get the allotment. We get the inheritance that Christ bought for us. So I want you to think about some questions, okay? Just ponder some of these. First of all, how much do we let others get the limelight or credit for something? You know, how much do we let other people go first? And it's okay to step in the background and let somebody else get the attention, get the blessing, get the credit for it. Second, how expectant are we to experience a miracle? I always pray that we don't leave here the same as when we walked in. But some of you are overdue and waiting for a miracle in your life. And maybe you've waited for a long, long time. And the Lord gave you scripture verses long, long ago, and it still hasn't come to pass. And we've just got to persevere and hold on to those things. Because God doesn't give you a promise and just, you know, forget about it. Fact, when we get to this next chapter, it says in 21:45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. All. A-L-L, all. Next one, what roles do we fulfill to give an inheritance to our children or our spouse or other believers? Okay, you have roles to play. No? And we need to enter into them. We need to walk in them. I think a lot of times that we, we forgo one for the other and everything else. Well, yesterday, oh boy, yeah, see if I can share this without getting choked up here. I went up to where Pastor Ron's gravesite is. First time in 7 years. I've wanted to go up there, and I just didn't know where it was and this and that. So I went up there. And I'll just tell you, I saw it, and I started weeping and weeping and weeping because I just did not have a closure. You know, he passed away in 03, and, you know, when somebody like that is sick, you're not going to be going to the hospital and visiting him or anything like that. And Pastor Ron was our shepherd. I mean, we got saved at Beaverton. We were there for 14 years, and that's where you get your imprint. And on his tombstone, on the ground there, it says, beloved husband, father, grandfather, author, shepherd. I mean, all these different titles for one person. All the different roles that he played for so many people's lives. It's amazing. So, what roles do we fulfill to give an inheritance to our children, our spouse, or other believers? We need to walk in them and accept them. Next one, are you letting God determine your lot and the inheritance he has for you? I want that. I want what that person has, you know, or I like these children of Joseph. We want that big allotment over there. We want the mountain country. We're too big for this little spot over here. We always want what other people have instead of asking to receive what God has for us and just rest in it. Yeah, I know I'm talking to the choir, but, you know, it really is. Listen, these things are hard to put together because it's like, you know, you're getting poked as we're going through this and preparing these things. So it's not me preachy at you. It's just like, yeah, okay, it's for everybody, but it's right here first. And then last thing is, do you ask God to sign the bottom of your contract, or do you let him fill in the details of his covenant with you and you sign the dotted line on the bottom? That's a real difference. You know, it's like, here, God, I want you to do all these things. Can you sign this? Versus, Lord, I'll sign the bottom. You fill it in. All of me, none of God. Some of me, some of God. None of me, all of God. That's how it works. That's the hardest thing is your sanctification process. Hardest thing is to die quietly. Hardest thing is to surrender. Hardest thing is to yield to what God's doing, instead of us dictating to God the way we think things should go. And how's that working for you? Not so good. Doesn't work good that way. So here you see Joshua. I mean, talk about somebody that could write their own ticket. I mean, he's the one that led him into the promised land, right? The conquering. He did all the battles and everything else. And he could have said, you know, I want that over there. He waited till every other tribe got their allotment. And then he even waited for them to give him the inheritance that he had. That's a godly leader. Letting other people go first and taking care of other things first instead of yourself first. Okay? All right. Well, you can put your Bibles aside. And gosh, we've only got about 3 or 4 more lessons in Joshua and we'll be done. Be great. It's been a good study. All right. Well, we're going to pass the baskets for tithes and offerings, and then we'll just pray and we'll dismiss, and you guys can stay. There's still some coffee over there if you need to, or just you do a lot of fellowshipping when we have the prayer time, so that's good. All right, let's just pray. Father, thank you for this lesson, Lord. And I just really pray, Lord, that we take these things to heart. Lord, that somebody like Joshua that can wait and let everybody else get their allotment first and then for them to give him his, and to trust that you would move on the people to give him what is duly his ground and his possession to have. Lord, help us to put others first. We still have our jar over here of the cotton balls that represent a lot of the pride. And I just really pray, Lord, it says you give grace to the humble. And so we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And we just pray, Lord, that we trust, because you're our high priest, you're the Son of God, and you're also the head, Lord, of all the tribes and the head of of the church, Lord, your body. And so we just rest in that. And we're thankful, Lord, that we have an inheritance in you and it's eternal. And we get a little purchased possession now and we get the rest when we breathe our last and go be with you. So just bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. Thank you so much for blessing us with employment that we can give. And we just pray that you would bless it as we pass the basket in Jesus' name. Amen.